I'm Gab, he's Jules. It's Monday and overcast a little bit in West London. We have a big Gab and Jules show for you today. So much going on. Dramatic headed last minute winner from Alisson. In fact, buzzer beating three-pointer, I think you're going to call it, in the show. Leicester City win the FA Cup. Tremendous. The race for the top four in Serie A. Robert Lewandowski equaling Guardiola's record. I'm giving too much away, but there's one place to start, which is in La Liga, because it's a super tight title race. We'll get to Barcelona later, because no spoilers here. They're out. Real Madrid and Atleti. Real Madrid were top of the league for, what, about 20 minutes, I think, in the time between, because Atletico Madrid went a goal down, and Real Madrid scoring with Nacho, I think, 25 minutes from time.
Yeah.
And then the dramatic winner from Luis Suarez. Jules, this is just from a neutral's perspective, this was picture perfect.
It was amazing. So there was two scenarios, really. One is like Atleti win against Osasuna, who have nothing to play for, really. Real Madrid win, maybe a tougher game on paper in Bilbao against Athletic. And then you go to the last game of the season. But no, because La Liga this season doesn't do anything simple. It has to be drama all around. So Real do their job, as you said, Nacho scored. They're not great, but they score a goal. They win. They could have scored more. They might have conceded as well at some point. So then it's all eyes on Atletico, 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go even against Osasuna.
1-0 down and I think playing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he created a ton of chances. Luis Suarez, I thought, could have probably had a hat trick before the hour mark.
Definitely.
He wasn't on form. He hit the post. They bring on... he tries. I mean, I felt for Simeone. I felt for Cholo, because he says, like, I don't really want to be playing this attacking kind of football, but I have no choice with these players I have. I can't do it the old style.
No.
So he sends on Lodi and Jean-Felix. Jean-Felix, perfect pass for Lodi, although, and a great finish for the equalizer.
Yeah.
Although, was there no right back playing?
For Osasuna.
Yeah.
Yeah, the defending. Yeah, you can't be defending. But can you imagine that Renan Lodi had not scored at all in La Liga this season, and yet he scores the goal that might...
He looked like he might have scored a goal or two before, the way he took that.
Yeah,
and,
great finish.
And then, of course, Luis Suarez is a winner at the end. Yannick Carrasco, another phenomenal game.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the driver's seat now, right?
Oh, yeah. They obviously go to Valladolid for the last game of the season, who are not safe, who play for the safety. You know who is the owner of Valladolid?
Ronaldo. And in fact, in my fantasy, Ronaldo comes on to take a penalty late in the game.
Not sure with his fitness right now and his weight.
I'm sure he can take a penalty.
But he would love, surely, to give the title to Real Madrid, his former club. Of course, Real play at home against Villarreal, who will play in the Europa League final 3 days later. So
I know are very much a la playa,
there
as
will
they
be
say,
drama
you would assume.
Again. Although they can still win, you know, if they win, they can go above, one place above, to go into the Europa League ahead of Betis, for example.
Yeah, so and if they win the Europa League, they can go in the Champions League.
Of course they do. But still, it's not like, you know, so it would be fascinating anyway.
Yeah, I thought Real Madrid, you know, first half, were not super impressive. It was almost following what was happening. It was the Real Madrid that we've seen too many times, too slow the build-up. But I thought when it matters, you know, well, they did lay siege to the goal. And ultimately, they were rewarded. There's some question about, was Benzema offside? He doesn't touch the ball.
He goes to touch it. He goes to control it. He just misses it. And then Nacho is behind him and the ball bounces off Nacho and goes in. It could have been given as an offside.
I would argue, though, no. Because I don't think Benzema affects the goalkeeper. I don't think Benzema being there. Because Benzema is beyond the goalkeeper, right? So the goalkeeper obviously knows he's there.
Yeah.
In the same way that Nacho's there. And by the way, Nacho, I love him. But the ball just simply bounces off.
Oh, completely. He doesn't know anything about it.
For me, I don't think. I think this is a non-issue. I think it was definitely the right call. But let me ask you this, because big stories coming out: Zinedine Zidane. Mm-hmm. There was a report in Spain that he was leaving. He's told the player he was definitely leaving Real Madrid. Zidane and Nacho came out and denied that he had told them this. Doesn't mean it won't happen. This is all part of the late season dance, yeah?
Yeah, of course. But Zidane said, why would I tell my players four or 5 weeks before the end of the season, when we can still win La Liga, that I'm out in the summer and risk disturbing the whole momentum and everything? Which
he's
not sure said the same. It's crazy.
He's not saying that he's definitely staying.
No,
he's saying, I haven't actually told him. We'll see at the end of the season. And he's been consistent in that. This is a team that's packed with veterans, with older players. I don't think they're playing the kind of football that Zidane wants to play, even when they win. I don't think they did it last season either. And I think in some ways it's a good time to move on. If you're Real Madrid, you can say, all right, let me get a younger manager, a different style of football. Then I can sell people on the notion that I'm rebuilding. But my question is, are Real Madrid in a position to rebuild? Because if he has indeed, I mean, I don't know if he has extended Modric or not. He says he has, but who knows? He also said that there were 40 Chelsea fans outside Stamford Bridge. So I don't know what's up with when Florentino Perez talks. But when you look at this, even if somehow they sign Mbappe or Haaland, if you're Zidane, is this still appealing? Because you're just going to have a lot of veteran players who you're close to and who have been loyal for you and have done a job for you. You're not going to be able to move all these guys.
Yeah.
And I could see him wanting to take time off after everything that's happened.
I think he's been really hurt by all the criticism this season, and there's been a lot. And I think it took a lot of bullets in the press because at times they were not playing well, they were not winning the game that should have won. Although, if you look at it, they've done really well in the Clásico, they've done really well in the Madrid derby. Okay, the Champions League, maybe that game, those two games against Chelsea.
And against Atalanta.
Yeah, but he still went through. Yeah. But, it's like, and I think he didn't feel the support that he should have had from the club, definitely.
Well, what more could the club have done?
I think there were times where he could have done with the public support of this is Zinedine Zidane, we believe in him, we believe in this team, which they didn't do, which they usually do.
They often do, but it's not like Butragueño and these other people were coming out and saying, well, Zidane, we'll see, right? They all talk. I mean, the difference is, but even when we talk about public support, I think Madrid and the media bubble around Madrid is a particular animal, right?
Yeah.
Because we know how strong Marca, especially, and also AS are in Madrid. The old line is that, they get fed stuff. And by the way, people have a negative connotation about, they're controlled by Real Madrid because Real Madrid feeds them stuff. It's no different to what any other club does. I mean, I'm going to lift the lid how we do our jobs. There are people at football clubs who are paid by the clubs to give information to journalists on background, right?
Yeah.
So it's no different than what happens elsewhere. I think the difference is that Real Madrid, Marca and AS have so much more power. Marca and AS and the radio stations, whether it's Onda Cero, El Chiringuito, or José Manuel de la Morena, El Larguero. So these people are fed things. Should they have fed a stronger line? I don't know, because the reality is Real Madrid were playing really, really badly for most of the season.
Yeah,
I don't think Zidane was taking it personally there. He could say, I couldn't have had more.
Remember that press conference where he was like, I've had enough, when he just came back from COVID, when he had COVID, and he came back and said, I've had enough of all that criticism, I've had enough of all the negativity on me. And I think he was right. And for Zidane to come out, he gets angry, but rarely in a press conference like this,
right.
And certainly very rarely as a manager, as a player, and the red cards and everything, that was different. So I think for him to come out like this at the press, in a press conference, and said, I've had enough of all your criticism, all that negativity around me and around the team, he must have really felt it. And I don't think that has changed much since January or February, that was, until now. And I think pretty much the idea would be, if they win La Liga next weekend, and then after they said, you know what, we won't, two La Liga in a row now, which with that squad, despite all the talent, but it's an aging squad, as you said, it's a squad that he could have done with far more reinforcement than what he had, with Eden Hazard being pretty much injured for two seasons, Karim Benzema being the age that he is, and same with Cruz, etc. All the injuries this season at the back, if you look again at the defence against Athletic Bilbao, it was crazy. And I think he would be like, this is a great achievement. Trust me, over 38 games, this is a great achievement. I can go now with my head high and I can move on to something. You can bring on Allegri or bring in Raul or bring in whoever you want. But this is me done. I've done great for this club in my two spells, Champions League and La Ligas. And this is it. And I think this is probably the way I would see it. If they don't win La Liga, then he goes on to a blank season, which is
No idea.
But he'll still leave with his head held high.
I would think so.
Because he's a Don. And I think anybody who looks at this objectively will realize that what Real Madrid have achieved this season, even if they don't win the title, it's not down to Zidane. Zidane was a value added this season. Even, you know, in the past, people said he's not flexible enough. He's changed systems. Yeah. He's tried different things all season long. He did everything he could. And the reality is, they're still here, 90 minutes away from the title. And I think that is an achievement with everything that that they've been through.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, on to Atleti. Because Luis Suarez... So last night on the FC show, I disagreed a little bit with this easy notion that, oh, if Luis Suarez had stayed at Barcelona, then Barcelona would have won the title. I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah, I agree.
At all.
But they're missing those 20 goals, for sure, and the leadership.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, they have a worse manager. They had a whole bunch of injuries. You know, if Ansu Fati, Sergio Roberto, and Gerard Pique stay fit all season long, there's your 20 goals right there. I don't think it's quite, you know, that dramatic.
Yeah. But
he's moved the needle for Atletico Madrid this season. Just simply the fact that he's forced them to be more attacking in certain games because you can't play on the counter with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a positive, right?
Yeah, they had to change a bit the way they approach games and the way they play. I love Simeone on Saturday in his press conference saying, you know, this is Suarez's zone. This is his time, really, because we players like him come big in those kind of moments. And then you waited on Sunday all game long. He missed chances after chances, and yet in the 88th minute he scores that goal that you and I would have scored. Really, it's a great ball by Carrasco. It's not a great goal, but yet it's him who scores it, the celebration and what he means and all of that. And yeah, he's changed the mentality over there maybe as well. He said after the game, "I knew you had to suffer to win La Liga, but I didn't think you'd have to suffer like that." Because he's been...
I don't know if he's changed Atleti's mentality, because that's always been Atleti's mentality. I think it changed Suarez's mentality, because after several years at Barcelona, where even when you didn't win, everything was easy, right? Because it's easy. Hey, look, I'm playing with Lionel Messi. You know, or even before that, at Liverpool, you know, the attacking team, Sterling, whatever. Now you're in a completely different context. He's had to adapt to Atleti. And obviously he's brought the experience.
What I meant by mentality.
I thought Alejandro Moreno made a wonderful point about Suarez, is that, you know, obviously having been a center forward himself, the idea that, you know, you do, so center, we always talk about strikers and confidence, right? And how when you're missing, when things aren't going for you, inevitably it's human, right? It's human that you're going to miss. This is a guy who will continue to shoot. It's always a green light for him. He never has issues of confidence.
Yeah, no.
He maybe have issues where, you know, he's not quick enough or alert enough, or he starts biting people, which has been an issue in the past. But it's never an issue of him not thinking he can score.
Oh, definitely. And he will always be in the right position anyway. So sometimes, like when he hit the post in the first half, he does everything right. It's about 5 centimeters. It happens. Even at that level, even someone like him. But he's just had this incredible ability or talent to be in the right place at the right time 3-4 times in a game, which makes it easier then to score goals, because eventually it will go in. But I don't know how long he can last, because I still think that he's certainly not fit. I don't know how his knees are, but you could see that the way he moves is certainly not the way he used to move. But at least, even if it's just one season, and he gives them the title for the first time in 7 years. By the way, a title in 2014 that they also had to win in the last game of the season, that time away at Barcelona, far harder game than Valladolid, but still. So they don't do things easy anyway. But if he can win them the title like that, it's just like, wow.
All right, we said it before, and I'll ask you the same question again, because I think it's just a wonderful theme, is we both agree the 2014 team Atletico team was much better than this one, right? But obviously Real Madrid and Barcelona were much better in 2014 as well. So which is the greater Cholo achievement?
So I don't think this is a good La Liga season at all. This is a great title race and it's very exciting, but this is not good. Atleti haven't been great. No. Barcelona haven't been great. Real Madrid haven't been great either. Maybe Sevilla has been, for what they have,
the best team in La Liga, probably, yeah.
So it's hard. I think it's hard to answer your question. However, I still think that El Cholo has done a good job, in the sense that from the beginning he said, don't think that we will cruise and win this title easily at the end, even after the incredible first half of the season. They had 50 points after 19 games, Gab. At the turn of halfway through the season, 50 points.
Yeah, sophisticated mathematical analysis reveals that they would have been on pace to score 100 points in a COVID season, which is unbelievable.
Exactly. Not many teams do that, whatever league it is. So, of course, they were going to slow down. But even when they slow down, when they drop points that defeat Bilbao, he still kept them alive and believe and not to throw anything away. And I think mentally, he's been really good. And you have to say, the changes that he made in that game against Osasuna with Lodi and João Félix coming on at 0-0 paid off.
You can definitely argue both sides of this coin, which is why it makes it a good topic.
Yeah, definitely.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Gab. Just go to Indeed.com/Gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, we need to celebrate the second greatest moment in the history of Leicester City Football Club. They win the FA Cup. I think, all right, there's two elements to it. There's the drama of the game itself, which I don't think was necessarily a great game, but we saw a tremendous goal from Yuri Tielemans.
Wonderful.
My Premier League player of the year, as you know.
Yeah.
And then the disallowed goal at the end, those Schmeichel saves at the end. Mm-hmm. This made everything feel more special. But even without it, I mean, if they'd won 1-0 with Jamie Vardy falling over in the box and getting a dubious penalty, let's take a step back. This is still incredibly special, what this club has done, the importance it has in its community, the fact that they're, as we record this, in the top four. They may not be there at the end of the season, but the fact that they're there competing with clubs who have twice the budget, the fact, you know, Brendan Rodgers' rehabilitation.
Yeah, completely.
And they won the Premier League less than 5 years ago, which is pretty amazing, this whole stretch it's been.
It is, and I don't know how long they can keep it up and how long it will last, because they've also been very good with their recruitment, and we saw Wesley Fofana again being amazing in that final. And there might be a point where if the recruitment is not as good, if Brendan Rodgers decides to leave, Jamie Vardy will at some point retire, and others might leave, like James Maddison or Yuri Tielemans, to maybe pick a club. I don't know. But
we don't think it's going to happen this summer because of COVID, because of all those issues.
And potentially the Champions League if they qualify. You know.
And the Champions League. And,
of course.
And what I wonder too is they've had so many injuries this season. Even in this game, right? You know, you lose Johnny Evans and you send on the old guy, Wes Morgan. You know, Wes Morgan, who was old when they won the title 5 years ago, and presumably he's even older now.
He could just about play in the last 10 minutes that he came on for, really. But you're right. I mean, first ever FA Cup after four finals lost earlier. The last one was 1969. Incredible achievement, really, in a game where they were not favourite, in a game where I thought their game plan was perfect, and where they frustrated Chelsea, who I thought were a bit too passive, to be fair, for most of the game. But it's such a great story for Kasper Schmeichel, for example, who must have dreamt about that when he was a kid, seeing his father win it. For Jamie Vardy, who became the first player ever in English football history to actually play in every single round of the FA Cup, including the first one, where only
the one with the pub teams.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's how we start. That's where he started, which I think is incredible. Whether you like Jamie Vardy or not, it's incredible. 14 rounds, he's played in every single one of them, and then won it in the end. And plus the Tielemans story, the Fofana story, Wes Morgan, who surely would retire after this. I mean, what a way of finishing your career. You know, it's incredible.
What I wonder is, because they've also had a tremendous amount of injuries this season. which normally doesn't happen when you have a team that, that kind of overachieves, you know, exceeds its resources. But, you know, from Madison to Vardy himself to Justin to Barnes.
And Didi, so you too.
And Didi, so, yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Mm. I'm wondering, if everybody's fit next season, can they actually, maybe not unseat Man City, but there's no reason they can't finish top four again next season, right?
Yeah,
if
I think so.
Fit.
They could easily have finished top four last season, so they could have had 2 years in a row top four, although this season could have been different had they played in the Champions League, for example, or something like that. But Rodgers doing a great job. And you do think, actually, if you look at the squad, the depth is quite interesting. Someone like Cengizunda, for example.
Yeah.
You know, if he's fully fit and adapts well to the league, to the country, could be an asset for them next season. So if you look at all the way, plus one or two new players in the summer, if they can find players as good as the Fofanas or the Barnes or whoever they have that is young in that team, or Madison, could be fantastic.
Now, they have an equally big game coming up tomorrow, actually, as we record this
Tuesday
against Chelsea. It's kind of game that if you win it, you're in the Champions League next season. You know,
it's
simple as.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, that was playing on Thomas Tuchel's mind, I think, clearly, when he sent the team out. But Chelsea coming off of two consecutive defeats, it's got to undermine you a little bit, even if you're going to change things with Havertz and Pulisic or whatever, right?
Still, after the Arsenal game, he said, I got it wrong in my lineup. On Saturday, he got it wrong with his lineup. How is Reece James playing as a centre-back, even in a back three? What, because you're scared of the pace of Vardy and Iheanacho? Okay, I get it. But I'm sure there were other options there than playing Reece James in that position and Azpilicueta a bit higher in that sort of partnership on the right-hand side. I'm not sure about the substitutions and the timings of them.
I don't have a problem with Reece James in the back three. I don't have a problem with managers try and do things that are a little bit creative. So
in an FA Cup final.
Who cares? I'd rather do it in the FA Cup final than Tuesday night against Leicester.
But
right?
I guarantee you won't do it again on Tuesday night.
Okay, thank you, Nostradamus. But you know what? Why is this such an absurd thing? Is it because they haven't practiced it? Is that the main issue?
But because he's never played in that position in the Premier League or in the FA Cup or under Thomas Tuchel since Thomas Tuchel has arrived at the club.
In January.
And as you know, it's a very specific position for Thomas Tuchel in how you defend, in how you press, in how you get the ball up from the back. And Reece James is a wonderful player, and love him. But if you ask him, where would you rather play? As a right centre back in a back three, or a right wing back, or even a right back in a back four, where you've played so far in your professional career, I know the answer, and you know it as well.
I personally think Reece James can play a whole bunch of different positions.
Me too.
I think he's an unusual. He's got an unusual skill set. What I will say is, it's not like this is what cost Chelsea the game. It's not like Leicester created half a dozen chances because Reece James was playing in a back three.
And but I don't think he helped you either.
Could they have gotten more attacking impetus? Clearly, there was supposed to be some sort of Reece James Azpilicueta switch when they were in position, which didn't always work the way it should have, I think. And I think if you're playing against a front two, I think it's also a bit harder to do properly unless you've practiced it. It's all about movements. But I would take more of an issue.
We go back to it's a surprising choice. That's what I mean. And I don't think that paid off.
But I will say this. He hasn't made, other than the times we've seen Hudson-Odoi play right wing back, we haven't seen too many surprising choices from Tuchel this season.
No, that's right.
And when I look at this, I don't really have an issue with, obviously they were much better with Chilwell, but I don't really have an issue with him starting Alonso. I understand why he was there. You have an extra, you know, more of an aerial threat, and you're playing a back three. I think he expected Leicester to play on the counter even more than they did. What I would question, though, and again, is our pal Timo Werner, because the way they were set up in that front three, and that's always a wild card, right? Mount is always there. Two of those three always change. And I get Timo Werner's pace, but at some point, I mean, I don't need to see Timo Werner on Tuesday. If I was a Chelsea fan, I would go Havertz and Pulisic, or Havertz and Ziyech, depending how you want to line up. Mm. I'd even go Havertz and Giroud if you want to give him a completely different look.
Yeah.
But there's an issue here, right?
But he's been good at times, and he's made runs that could hurt you, could hurt the defense. We saw it at City, for example. We saw it in the Champions League.
But at City, you're going to have situations where you're going to play on the counter and have space because they have a lot of possession. Against Leicester, you won't. At Leicester, against Leicester, I know he's good in tight spaces and he's got the quickness and the acceleration. But how many times did he threaten with quality?
But he had four. Didn't he have four shots in the first half or something like this? It's just that I think.
And how many on target?
Yeah, but that's at least
because
he's
always off balance and
exactly
when he gets a shoot.
But that's more the problem because you can also see it in the way like okay he's gonna make something happening and then with a bit of luck that one shot out of the four will go in. Or it would be a save by the keeper, but you'd have the rebound or something like this.
I don't know. Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, of course. What about Tammy Abraham? Do you have an issue with him just
with him disappearing?
Simply with Tuchel simply not playing him. He's Chelsea's. He played him in the FA Cup and he scored a lot. Okay, against Barnsley and you know whoever they played before, but.
I suspect there's something more going on, whether it's a contractual issue or whatever, because I don't think you can go into the summer, you know, knowing, like, or maybe they've decided they're going to keep Giroud, give him another year. I don't know. Have they?
No.
No, not as far as we know,
not
right?
Not so far, no.
But you're in a situation where you need to bring in a big striker next season, right? Even if you decide Havertz is my center forward, and I think that would be a good option, but you still need another striker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
So why you would freeze out Tammy Abraham, lower his transfer value as well at the same time in so doing, to me doesn't make sense unless you've already locked somebody else up and kept it super, super secret, which we think is pretty unlikely given that they spent all their money last year, or unless they've committed to another year of Giroud. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, did he pour super glue in Tuchel's underwear or something when he came out of the shower? I don't know.
Is it something to do with pressing? He thinks that. I don't know. I really don't.
I actually think Tammy Abraham is a very bright guy, and he has the intensity and energy. To press in most systems. So, for me, that's a mystery. What I wonder though is, how are we going to view Tuchel if because he was brought in. To finish top four. Once they decided that Frank Lampard wasn't going to finish top four, he's done so well. They've been so stingy defensively. Yeah. Obviously, he's in the Champions League final. And obviously, let's never forget, that's another route.
Of course.
City may be favorites, but that's another route to getting back in the Champions League. But how do we say, assuming they lose the Champions League final, which is a big assumption, and assuming they don't finish top four, all that needs to happen for that, I think, is actually... You know, provided games go as expected, is they lose to Leicester.
Yeah.
If that happens, do we reassess Tuchel a little bit?
He would have to be disappointed, and I think he will be as well, and so will the club. But surely everyone can see the difference with Chelsea and the Lampard. And again, it's not. That doesn't mean that Lampard will not be a great manager in the future. It's just I'm not sure.
No. I mean, I'm not asking was it right to replace Lampard with Tuchel. I think
no,
everybody
but
agreed.
In the sense that
but
you see,
do you start
you
asking questions about Tuchel's ability to make big calls in big games? Because against Arsenal,
like
he said
Champions League semi-final. Okay, the Arsenal game is a freak result in a game that you can play another nine times and you will the other nine times.
So you're on board with Tuchel when he says that.
Yeah, I think
because Arteta was all crowing afterwards about how brilliant they were and like. Okay.
No, but they defended well. But it's a game that they scored a
they
goal.
They could have easily lost 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that FA Cup final, Tuchel said that they were unlucky at the end. I'm not sure how much luck came into it. Chilwell is offside. He's offside. You know. It's a matter of centimeters, but he's offside.
I mean, maybe the Schmeichel save.
One on the man volley.
Slightly superhuman, right?
Yeah, the one on man volley more than the header, but the one on man is incredible. But they only start playing in the 75th minute or after the Tielemans goal. So explain to me why they didn't start playing at kickoff or maybe at halftime if you wanted to take 45 minutes to get into the mood, fans in the stadium, blah, blah, blah. So what do you expect if you only play 15 minutes in a game?
Okay, which brings me to another hypothetical. Okay. If you were, apart from Manchester City, if you had to metaphorically buy shares in a football club, right, bet on somebody to do the best next season out of all these clubs.
That's a hard question.
No, would it be out of the other clubs, Chelsea, United, Liverpool, knowing what we know now, who's trending positively the most? Who would you...
But United have to be because they're solid, but they need to make two or three really good signings still to, I think, get to the next level and compete with City for the title. But it's the same narrative for Chelsea, who are also trending and also making progress. And again, the point was, look at what Tuchel has done with this team, how far they've gone since Lampard was sacked. And you see the progress and you're like, okay, this is really good, despite the defeat against Leicester and Arsenal. This is really good, even if they finish fifth and even if they lose the Champions League final. But they still need a big centre forward and probably another centre back.
I would suggest to you that regardless,
Liverpool is the same. They can come back, but they also need
Even if they don't finish top four, and even if there's a Champions League final, I would still lean Chelsea. But I have it just because of the number of younger players who I think can and will get better, and also what a whole summer with Tuchel will bring.
But you agree on the progress under Tuchel, right?
There's no question. There's been progress. No. I think they're definitely trending. They're definitely trending in the right direction. That's why I asked that question.
Yeah.
He's blown a few things, but it's not going to matter if they beat Leicester. I mean, Chelsea have won enough FA Cups,
Of course,
it's not going to leave a lasting scar if you get it right on Tuesday night.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, enough FA Cup. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
There's one place to start, Jules, and it's with Alisson's buzzer-beating three-pointer for Liverpool against West Brom. That's twice I've mentioned it, but it's a cool line, so I'll have to keep doing it. This was huge and magical.
Wow. Just wow. I mean, even Jurgen Klopp could not believe it. He turned around and went like, what just happened? What have I just seen? Incredible. I mean, Alisson, first for a goalkeeper to score is obviously very rare and very cool. But to score a winner with a header like this, an amazing header in a win that can help you qualify for the Champions League, it's just like, wow.
And when they do score, it is often winners or equalizers because they normally don't go up the pitch.
Paul Robinson, he just like kicks the ball and he bounces and the win and he goes over. And you know, but that was just great. I mean, his dad, of course, died in February. And you can just imagine all the emotion. His post-match interview was fantastic. You know, saying like, I hope my dad with God next to him saw that and celebrated where he is. It was just like everything was just incredible. You know, Liverpool didn't have a good game, didn't play well at all, should not have won that game. And yet it's Alisson who gave them that win.
Two quick things on this. There's no way Trent Alexander-Arnold should not be going to the Euros. Can we just agree on that at this point? Okay, fine. Let's just knock that on the head. Secondly,
he would go.
You don't want me to ruin it by pointing out that it seems weird to me that nobody says, oh, look, there's a very tall, big man in the box.
You look, he's walking in.
Let's have two guys on Nat Phillips. But, I mean,
crazy.
Totally unmarked.
Crazy.
Magical.
And Sam Allardyce was grumpy, Gab, after the game, especially towards the referee, Mike Dean. Did he have a point?
He didn't have a point on the goal that was disallowed. He totally had a point when, I think it's Fabinho.
Yeah.
For some reason, Fabinho runs into Mike Dean from behind. And Mike Dean's solution is to give a free kick to Liverpool?
Which is the rule if you're a referee, for example, and you block a pass, you give the ball back to whoever.
If you touch the ball, yes, you give it back to them.
So maybe he thought because there was some sort of infringement.
He didn't touch but Mike Dean didn't touch the ball.
No, but he obstructed Fabinho's pass in a way, I guess.
He didn't. He obstructed Fabinho because Fabinho runs into him. He's got his back to Fabinho.
I know. I'm with you.
I mean, look, it was afterwards.
It's still a long way then for them to score.
It's fine, but it's just stupid crap. And enough of Mike Dean. Come on, man. Juventus beat Inter 3-2 on Saturday night to keep their Champions League hopes alive. Jules, not a good night for referee Giampaolo Calvar, is it?
Okay, so who's Italy's best referee?
Orsato, yeah.
Who's then that? Davide Massa, probably, yeah? Who's after that? Irati, maybe? Why is this dude refereeing such a big game? Who decided that this guy, who's clearly incompetent, who was refereeing in Cyprus like 3 weeks ago, or in Serie B, the Lecce game the other day, why is he in charge of this game? Why?
I don't know. All I would say is this is one of the worst refereeing performances I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
I don't think one team was penalized more the other. You can say it was equal opportunity. I mean, for me, the two worst mistakes were the Bentancur sending off, which obviously hurt Juve.
Yeah.
And the completely imaginary made-up penalty at the end,
yeah,
won by Cuadrado.
On Perisic.
On Perisic, which, you know, so you could say one, both teams were equally hurt. I think there was a lot more. The fact that VAR had to save him from a lot of very obvious things.
Including
that,
the goal, the inter-second goal.
The inter-second goal was ridiculous. By the way, Chiellini... every time the shrieking, the throwing around. I'll get in trouble for saying this, but if he goes to the Euros, he's a liability. He's a liability because the national referees will not put up with this. They're not going to care that. Oh, look, you're Chiellini. He has to stop doing that at the Euros.
I'm with you.
But it's a big win for Juve.
Huge. And they stay alive. And with Milan dropping points, as we will mention later, it's
and
big.
And Cristiano didn't complain when he got substituted.
For once?
No, not for once. He understood. They're down to 10 men. You need somebody to run around.
I know. So talking about Milan, they needed a victory against Cagliari to secure their spot in the top four. Cagliari, who was safe already as well. But man, Milan were held to a 0-0 draw. Gab, this was a huge wasted chance, right? And it all comes down to the Atalanta game now.
Yeah, Atalanta, of course, who have qualified. They'll be coming off the Coppa Italia final against Juventus, which is in midweek. Everybody's so negative. Everybody's usually, you know, wheeling out Ibra. Well, if Ibra had been there, you know what? Come on. If Mant had wheels, should be a bicycle. They created a bunch of chances. They were nervous.
They paid the price for it.
I don't think it's a tragedy. I think they're going to pull it out later. Now, sticking with Milan, we've had confirmation, and Zlatan, of course, that Zlatan won't be going to the Euros. Jules, it would have been an incredible storyline if he'd gone.
He would have been fantastic. And as we said, I think he would have been a better Euros with Ibra and all the drama and all the showboating and everything you want in there. Right. He won't be. That knee injury that he suffered the other day that we thought maybe was not going to be too serious, he's actually serious enough.
Good news for Milan. Rest up. Yeah. Since you're spending all this money on him, rest up and come back stronger.
Exactly. Barcelona slim hopes to still win the title have gone, despite Messi's early goal against Celta Vigo, because they lost 2-1. Gab, are you still convinced that Messi wants to stick around?
100%. If the terms are right, he's going to have to take a pay cut, give him a say in the team, and have him stay.
What? He looked so sad.
He looked deflated. By the way, Messi, 30 goals this season, 30 league goals. I know. Cristiano, if he scores last day, he will also get to 30.
Yeah.
Both will, if Cristiano gets there, both will have done 9. It's unreal.
Amazing.
Unreal what
amazing.
We're seeing.
Both
unreal.
Of them. Both of them.
Lille are held 0-0 by Saint-Étienne. Jules, did they deserve a little bit more?
No, they didn't, Gab. I mean, they hit the post.
Oh, come on. What? They created all those chances.
Which one? Tell me, which one?
The Shetton one, is that his name?
Yazici's free kick
Yazici's free kick.
Yeah, and then Yilmaz on the rebound block.
Yeah.
Wait, is that all the chances they created? That's two in the 90th minute. Before that, they were nervy. Christophe Galtier said about his own team, I didn't recognize them. This was not my team because I think the occasion got to them. They still can do it, Gab. Don't worry. Next week, away at Angers. But they have to win. A draw might not be enough if PSG win at Brest. So it's gonna be big. Yeah. And for the whole week, the pressure is going to build up to that game on Sunday against Angers.
It's not head-to-head in
France.
It's goal different. And Paris Saint-Germain obviously way ahead.
They were indeed. And PSG, they stomp all over Reims as Neymar scores the cheekiest of penalties, which he often does. Gabi was never in that right, especially after...
Because the dude gets sent off after 10 minutes. I honestly, by the way, this is a textbook example. Look, PSG don't need it, but this is a textbook example of where you don't give a red card. Because he's sliding and his arm is down.
Yeah.
That is exactly where you say it's accidental. I don't... different rules in Ligue 1, I guess.
Not even sure the ball from Mbappe was going in anyway, by the way.
Ridiculous.
Too cross.
Ridiculous. After winning the German Cup on Thursday, Borussia Dortmund secured their top four finish, beating Mainz 3-1. Jules, maybe this wasn't such a bad season after all. Is it still a good idea to ditch Edin Terzic? Do you think they want to have this back?
God, I don't know. I mean, it's too late now, of course, but we were critical of him when it was right.
Because now we praise him when they're good.
Yeah, he's improved. He really improved. He impressed us in the Pokal final, of course, where he got pretty much everything right. It helps when Jadon Sancho is in that kind of form, as we saw against Mainz again on Sunday. But Terzic, I thought in his management, the way he speaks, I think the players really like him. He will go back as an assistant, you would think, probably to Marco Rosa.
I don't know
and
if
even
Marco
if he
Rosa
doesn't,
wants him around, though.
Maybe not. And then I'm sure he will find a job because there's something in there, for sure. Robert Lewandowski equals Gerd Müller's record with his 40th Bundesliga goal as Bayern draw 2-2 with Freiburg on Saturday gap, would you be disappointed if he didn't break the record next weekend against Augsburg? Didn't score that, just one goal is enough to go to 4-2.
And he had a bunch of chances. He ran into a goalkeeper, Flecken, I think is his name, who just stood on his head. Flecken, by the way, was a reserve most of the season. So I think he was a bit unlucky there. I'd be disappointed, but it wouldn't take anything away from it because, like I said, when Gerd Müller set his record, Gerd Müller played every game, 34 games. He's missed 4 games, another one he came off the bench. Yeah. It's incredible to score 40 goals in those circumstances. All I can do is I salute you.
Did you like the Guard of Honor? Or it's a bit too much halfway through the game?
It's like a bit hokey during the game, but whatever. They won the title and do what they
like. I knew you would.
Harry Kane scores his 22nd league goal of the season, and Dele Alli's new hair helps him regain his mojo as they beat Wolves 2-0. Jules, did Dele Alli get a raw deal from the previous manager?
Yeah, of course he did. Okay. Come on. Ryan Mason is a good guy, but you knew as soon as Dele would play a bit more, the talent would still be there.
Oh, really? He did become bad all of a sudden?
Exactly.
Okay,
Spotify founder Daniel Ek had a bunch of things to say on social media this weekend, the most important being that the Kroenke family turned down his offer to buy Arsenal because they don't need the money. Gab, what do you think? Obviously, he said that in response to some spokesperson saying that the Kroenke family didn't receive any bid from him.
Yeah, I don't know if someone this is lying, true clearly. Or not. One of the two, yes. If you look closely, one of the two's noses is getting a little bit longer. The whole thing seemed to me, if you're going to do it, people say, oh, this shouldn't be done in public. I got no problem doing it in public. Use whatever leverage you have. Get people to speak up, but do it properly, and then obviously follow through and come out and say, I offered this much. Not just vague stuff about governance, golden share for fans. This is all great. Say like, hey, I'm offering this much. You know what I would do if I was buying a club?
Yeah.
If I was Daniel Ek? I would go outside Kroenke's house with a big sign and contract with the number on it that I'm offering and say, come out and deal with me.
And a few TV crews as well.
A few TV crews, stream it live on YouTube. Why not, man?
Yeah, Twitch.
Leipzig come back from the disappointment of losing the German Cup and from 2 goals down to draw 2-2 with Wolfsburg. Your thoughts?
Stop conceding goals in the first half like you do all the time.
Oh, don't be critical. Praise them for coming back in a meaningless game. Come on.
Really? To finish second? Okay, you finish second. But those first halves are no good. Come on.
And show some love to Wolfsburg.
Napoli stay on course for Champions League place, beating Fiorentina 2-0. Gab, this was a bit nervy though, wasn't it?
This was very nervy. Ooh. The penalty, Rahmani, I think it was probably right. And then Insigne misses it and then puts in the rebound. And then there was a whole backstory to this because obviously Fiorentina effectively cost Napoli the title a few years ago after when they went, did their job and played against them and played hard against them when Napoli expected them to lie down so that they could stop Juve from winning the title. So look, it was nervy. They're there. They still control their own destiny. Last day of the season, they play Verona. They get the 3 points. It gets done. But guess what? Reno Gattuso, one of those big mysteries that confounds people outside Italy, will not be back as manager next season, 99.9%. And that, I tell you, is odd.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Eintracht Frankfurt lose to relegated Schalke 04 4-3 and say goodbye to their top four dreams. Jules, they managed to waste a 7-point lead.
Let me think. Did they have maybe a manager who at some point during the season was announced into another club?
Yeah, and I will get to the subject in a couple of quick hits.
Adi Hütte, like Marco Rose, and then their clubs where they finished the season.
Yeah,
just
like Oliver Glasner, like Julian Nagelsmann. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Exactly. And they've got André Silva, who has been the best striker, not named Robert Lewandowski, in the Bundesliga this season, or Erling Haaland. So
I'm glad you threw Erling Haaland on there.
But I was going to, but I get
that would have been
Jan
banging on the door
I've
over been there.
A bit of, a bit of suspense is always good. Atalanta clinched their place in the Champions League for sure for the fourth straight year, beating Genoa 4-3 in a great game. Gab, they're going from strength to strength. Now they can make sure to finish second, which would be the highest position they've ever finished.
And they could win the Coppa Italia, which of course they've won before as well. If they beat Juve, it's absolutely tremendous. The club is solid. They've redone their stadium. It's a wealthy city. They're always going to be penalized because people don't understand this when they look at a map, but Bergamo is literally 20 miles from Milan, and yep. So therefore that's what they're competing with. And on top of that, they've got kids coming through now as well. Historically, it's always been a big part of their success, mm-hmm. less so in the last couple of years, but now it's not just Pessina. There's all these other dudes coming through as well. Yep. So, no, tremendous. Beşiktaş are champions of Turkey, finishing level on points with Galatasaray, but getting the better of the tiebreaker, which in Turkey is goal difference. And it was just one goal more. Jules, let's celebrate our old buddy Vincent Aboubakar.
Yeah.
But also a couple of Canadians like Atiba Hutchinson still going strong.
Still going strong.
And what about Kyle Larin, former Orlando City star Kyle Larin?
Indeed, indeed. And also Rachid Ghezal, who scored the goal, the second one.
But he's not Canadian, so.
No, he's French, well, French-Algerian, but who gave them the win, a big win. And it's been an incredible last game of the season, well, last few weeks in Turkey, because Fenerbahce could also have won the title. It was really the three clubs. And I know you don't like the goal difference, and rightly so, because only a few weeks ago, Beşiktaş won 7-0, which obviously made a huge difference in the title race, and why they won it by plus one. Only by one goal, they beat Galatasaray to this title. So, incredible. And I can understand why you like head-to-head more than goal difference.
Yeah, I don't really like head-to-head either.
No,
the best solution would be to do what we used to do in Italy many years ago. And please, since we're all talking about football reform, let's do this again. If they finish
like level, a final.
If you finish level on points, which by the way is extremely rare,
very rare.
Have a one game playoff for all the marbles, have a final, make it a special day of cup prices, whatever.
Yeah,
do whatever you want. It was so much more exciting and so much more fair than this nonsense head to head or goal difference. By the way, so we have Atiba Hutchinson and Kyle Larin, league champions in Turkey.
Yeah.
Alphonso Davies, league champion in Germany.
No. And then the other
and
one is
not,
no. Not yet.
Not Jonathan David.
No, not yet. No, maybe. Is it still a maybe? I'm just sorry. It's still a maybe.
By the way, sorry, on Jonathan David, I probably brought this up before, but it's going to hold it, forget. Because I watched a YouTube video on commentary, and the guy keeps calling him Jonathan David.
I know.
English-speaking commentator.
I know.
If I were to ask him, I said,
he's
Jonathan,
not from
what's
not
your
from
name?
Montreal. Yeah, he's not from French Canadian. Like,
I think he was actually born in New York, actually.
Yeah, he was born in Brooklyn, yeah. So, yeah.
It's Jonathan David, yeah?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, so, so Mr. English-speaking Ligue 1
whoever
commentator,
you are.
Whoever you are, I'm not going to name names.
I know people at the
Ligue 1. It's not Jonathan David. That's appropriate for French people to say.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Jonathan David. Burnley have filed a complaint with the FA, the Football Association, regarding an incident between Leeds, Ezgen Alioski and Dwight McNeil in the game at the weekend. Gab, what's this all about?
So a couple of things here. The mayor reporting that Dwight McNeil felt he was being racially abused, not verbally, but...
He did a sign, didn't he, Alioski?
He did this, that. Like they need to investigate. They need to investigate what the situation was. Was he just making fun of him, or was there a racial component to them? Let's go and let them do their job. What I did not like is Sean Dyche after the game, when everybody knows that this is what happened, right? And he says, "Did you file a complaint?" Like, yes. And like, can you tell us against two? No. I mean, why not? It's all going to come out a few hours later. What? You have to be Mr. Mystery Man, you know. Obviously, there's no place for this if this is what happened.
Alioski has to be careful because there was that incident with Nicolas Pepe during the Arsenal game.
Exactly. And we don't... And I don't know if there was something else as well.
Yeah,
everybody's focusing on that gesture. So let's hope they investigate. You know, nobody needs to put up with this. Paolo Fonseca says arrivederci to the Stadio Olimpico as Roma beat Lazio 2-0 in the derby.
Yeah.
Jules, we're biased on this show because
course,
we love Paolo.
Of course.
Where should he go next? Lyon?
Paolo, listen. Lyon is a great city. Okay, not as nice as Rome, but, you know, they've got good food, usually quite good weather. Jean-Michel Aulas is a really good owner, chairman. Juninho is great. They've got great fans. They've got a really good squad. You can make great things there. Please, come.
Can you not aim, with all due respect to Lyon, can you not aim a little bit higher?
Oh, my God. What do you mean? It's not high enough for you or for Paolo?
I will say this, right now...
It's because Roma is better than Lyon.
No, I'm saying Roma is better than Lyon, but right now, in terms of budgets and stuff, and I have no trouble saying this, I think Paolo Fonseca is a better manager than three of the big six in England. And one of the big six is a job opening, another one maybe should be.
Okay, so you mean more, where should he go next? Tottenham. Is that what you mean? Question mark.
I think they... I think they'd do well to speak to him. Now, whether the squad is suited to what he wants to do or whatever, maybe they've got other options.
I would love him.
Maybe they just want to go there. Maybe they don't like him. That's fine. But
I would love him there.
I do think he's an exceptional manager.
Seven of the top eight Bundesliga clubs will start next season with different managers, new ones than the one who finished this season. Gab, you discussed this with Philipp Blam, and it's a great piece on the website as well. It's not great, is it? Or is it a problem? I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I have a problem with these guys changing in mid-season. Philipp Lahm says, yeah, but it's a coincidence, it's a chain reaction. It is and it isn't. And Lahm, I think, correctly pointed out that, look, it's not like in England where the manager is omnipotent and he's the only one we ever see and whatever. So they're better equipped to go and deal with change. What I seriously have a problem with is these stories coming out during the season. So, for example, in Italy, we know that Rino Gattuso will 99.9% leave Napoli, and we know that he's been strongly linked to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
But it's not definite, right? Here, it's like Marco Rosa in January. Oh, yes, I'm going to go join Borussia.
It's definite. It better to be announced, no?
No, it's worse, I think. Okay. Because we have you said it earlier.
No. I'm asking you if they do it, it's because they must think that it's a better thing. Look, otherwise, they would not announce.
For me, I don't think there's any questions, right? Leipzig do worse after Nagelsmann is announced to Bayern.
Yeah.
Marco Rosa, Gladbach do much worse after. I know they were trending worse before, but whatever. Frankfurt
as well, yeah.
That's another good example, right? Yeah. Even freaking Oliver Glasner, right? And he's still there at least for now, but we don't know. He could easily move on as well, right? So, to me, in fact, he could go to Frankfurt. That's where he's been linked. This is just weird. I don't think, I like the whole structure and that it brings stability. But equally, the guy who's literally coaching the players, telling them where to go, how to run, where to stand, is pretty important part of the equation.
Of course it is.
Glasgow Rangers have finished a domestic campaign undefeated. Jules, how impressive is this?
It's very impressive from Steven Gerrard and his players. They've been great. You could always argue that Celtic have nowhere near been as strong as what they've been before in the last nine seasons when they won the league every time. But still, I think they deserve a lot of credit, Rangers, for the way they went on to this season. No defeats. The Invincibles, although, as a lot of Celtic fans would say, the real Invincibles are the Brendan Rodgers one, who not just spent the whole season unbeaten and won the league, but also won the treble, the domestic treble that
year. This is not really that rare an occurrence in Scotland, is it?
Well, it is, to be invincible. It's still
well,
not.
Brendan Rodgers was just a couple of years ago.
It was not. Yeah, but still, it's still great. You know, it's still great.
Oh, it is impressive.
Gary Neville, Gary Lineker, and our colleague Yana Gofiotov and others have launched a campaign for an independent regulator to govern the English game. Gab, what's all this about?
So, in Britain, like in many other countries, you have privatized industries, like, for example, your electrical company or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's still a government entity which says, okay, you need to stay within these rules. You can't do this. You can't set prices too high, too low, whatever, supply chain access. And they're calling for this in Britain. I mean, this is obviously on the back of the momentum of the Super League. Yeah. I think, depending on what they want to do, it could be a violation of competition law, EU competition law. And you can say, oh, what do we care? We're not in the EU. Yeah, but if you do business with the EU, which they do because they play in the Champions League, EU sponsors and so on, you have to comply. I don't know. My old colleague Rory Smith made the point, shouldn't the Football Association be the independent regulator here?
Exactly.
Our problem is the Football Association, like many others, is also kind of a politicized entity.
Yeah.
And between choosing that and an independent regulator appointed by the government, I would prefer the latter because I think it has a much clearer mandate, especially when it comes to the Premier League, whereas the Football Association has to deal with everything from grassroots to the professional game. I'm pro free market. I do think, however, that having some clear rules and a body that can enforce them, especially when it comes to other issues, not just Super League, but ownership issues, certain types of owners who come in, you know, having, you know, my thoughts, I don't think a sovereign fund should be allowed to own a football club, because by definition, a sovereign fund has to look out for people of their own country rather than just the investor's interest. So maybe it's a positive thing. It's definitely good that we're talking about it.
Exactly.
And things come to the fore. Yeah. We expected a tight game in the Women's Champions League final. Jules, we were wrong. Barcelona don't just beat everybody in the Spanish league, evidently. They do it in Europe, too, including Chelsea in the final. I think it's only two games they've lost all season in all competitions. Sorry, they had two games they haven't won all season in all competitions.
And just one loss against Man City in the second leg of their Champions League
tie. Was it a draw against Paris Saint-Germain,
and a draw against PSG, exactly, Gab. But they had won the first leg 3-0 against City.
Right.
So they've just been so good. And when you score in the first minute of a final like this, it's a huge help. And that's what Barcelona did. They just blew Chelsea away in our first half, leading 4-0 at halftime. It was so efficient in everything they did. And they've got a great team and a great manager in Luis Cortes. And it's a shame for Emma Hayes, who deserved better with the girls as well. And Chelsea would be back, there's no doubt. But it must be painful.
Well, comes around, goes around, of course. Yeah. Barca pummeled early and often by Lyon 2 years ago, right?
Exactly. They lost 4-1 2 years ago. So it's their first ever Women's Champions League. Well done to them. But surely Chelsea would be back next season. Werder Bremen desperately need a result to avoid relegation next weekend, so they fired manager Florian Kohfeldt and made a romantic choice for the last one game, Gab.
Yeah, they brought in Thomas Schaaf.
Oh,
now, for those who don't know, Thomas
Schaaf
is one of those... I know. I'm trying to get romantic and interesting about the Bundesliga when it's not Bayern or Holland, which is tough, but bear with me. Thomas Schaaf is this nice man who I think spent his entire career at the club. He played for them.
Yeah.
He mowed the lawn. He retired 5 years ago. I played this crazy attacking football, which ultimately didn't work out, or didn't always work out, but whatever. And now they bring him back for this last game to avoid relegation. I mean, wow.
It's a big call.
I will become a Werder Bremen
fan. Of course,
fan
we all are.
For the weekend. Sorry, whoever they're playing. Right, that brings us to an end. But, Jules, we got to come back and do this again on Thursday because lots of huge midweek football happening. So join us then. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.